Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Friday, October the 8th, 2021, and I have the honor to have Charlene Renee and Roxanne on with me. And we're going to be just having a good discussion here about Satanism and all kinds of stuff. So what I'm going to do is, rather than me sitting around running my mouth for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to let Charlene pick it up. Charlene Renee?
Well, Stu, I'm so glad to be back on and to bring my friend Roxanne that I met in Florida. And she started telling me about what had been happening with her. And she has been a target for several years now. And I thought it was very important for her to tell her story. So I'm going to let Roxanne tell her story because this is so important for people to hear.
Now, I've had you on before. You were on with Debbie Davis on a show, and you talked about being a target individual, which you have been because you're bloodline. But you also talked about the Neighborhood Crime Watch being part of it and the whole bit, and how they're used in the neighborhoods, which people need to know this. They're used.
Yep.
They're used by your joint task force group, your local police departments, all the stuff that George Bush set up, and that is this corrupt, dirty FBI Division Number 5, it's called. It's going around attacking websites with terrorist attacks, cyber attacks like mine, doing others, knocking down State of the Nation in different sites. Others have been attacked, and they're attacking whistleblowers, of course, and they're attacking radio talk show hosts now. But
yes, they are, and they will give the give people in the community the equipment to run these frequencies on people that they do not like.
Now,
and they're causing problems for people. If they can make you turn around just to look at them, like if they were to drop a pin or whatever, they would say you're paranoid. And they could do these horrible things to you in the community. So it's really been horrible learning what all they can do. But these frequencies grow yeast and mold on people's skin. And the more of this yeast or mold that you get on your skin, the more they can actually hurt the person.
Eventually kill them,
yes.
Now, you found out that garlic, and I found out that lemons balance the pH, garlic kills this, what they call psoriasis, folks. The doctors call psoriasis in me. It turned out to be a yeast infection,
They call it eczema, too, yes.
And it's drying up because, Charlene, I thank you. I took vitamin D to dry it up once before, but I didn't realize it was the frequency because of E-Systems and the stonar that they were doing on me. And because Super Spook Otis Johnson went in and found my name on the list, and they hit me every day in the middle of the night with their satellite. And eventually it breaks down your immune system and kills you, causes people heart attacks and so forth. But that's what they've been hitting me with, and it causes this frequency. It causes the psoriasis to come out. It's drying up and healing up because of garlic and a lemon every day squeezed in water. And also a little bit of vinegar. Charlene, you've been a victim of this. You've had this problem. And your friend Roxanne, now should we let her tell her story, or do you want to add anything before she goes ahead?
Well, I do want to add that once you become a target, you've got to fight. Every day you've got to fight this yeast. Every day, or they will eventually just burn your legs, burn your arms, burn the top of your head. And the worst part is these frequencies are aimed toward their ears. And so once you get yeast around your ears, you start hearing people talking. So you've got to get rid of the yeast. A lot of people think that they're hearing voices, and they actually are, because you're hearing what they want you to hear.
Now, also 5G, obviously the frequency, and from smart meters, and other things are putting people out of whack as far as the frequency in their body, which can cause the same thing.
Right. Yes, and every medium they own in the way of technology, cell phones, computers, Wi-Fi, and again, smart meters, that they installed without even telling us, didn't give us any notification whatsoever, and installed a smart meter on our house that I now see is obviously adversely affecting me as well. So,
But go ahead, Roxanne, tell us your story.
Well, it began quite a while ago. Actually, in 2015 is when God saved my life. I had had, apparently, I didn't realize it. I knew something was terribly wrong. I was walking my neighborhood, and I had been asking God of what kind of purpose I might have in this world, you know, if there was something I was supposed to do. And I never really knew or understood that there was something for me to do. And then one day when I was walking, I couldn't make it up the last hill that I could typically go at the end of my walk. And I knew that something was terribly wrong. But thankfully, I was close enough to home. I heard a voice say, "Turn around and walk home slowly." And I did that. But I didn't say anything to my husband about it. I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't want to go to the hospital because of MS. I've had now for 20 years. And I didn't want to have to be forced to wear a gown in the hospital and use their pillows, et cetera. I didn't want to be in a hospital. So I didn't say anything to him. And for several weeks, I carried on, you know, even though I didn't move very much. You know, I did go out to dinner or lunch, rather, for my birthday. And I could barely walk in the car to the Cheesecake Factory for lunch. We had lunch. We had a bottle of wine, et cetera. And then I went home. He picked me up, and we went home. And I still didn't say anything. And finally, I mentioned it to him. He begged me to go to the hospital. Still, I was very obdurate and stiff-necked, and I refused to go. And finally, one morning, when my dog wanted to go back, get out of the bedroom, I couldn't even walk across the living room floor to let him out the door. And I knew there was no choice. I went to the hospital. And the moment he wheeled me through those hospital doors, a Florida hospital, a wonderful hospital near our home, I felt the Holy Spirit descend over me with a feeling of such calm, serenity, peace, and completely undisturbed that I was in the best mood of my entire life. And I was that way throughout the whole ordeal. They thought I had congestive heart failure, but soon after several tests realized that I had dozens of small, medium, and large blood clots in both of my lungs that I had been walking around for 3 weeks with, which would normally have killed somebody instantly. And so obviously God was keeping me alive for this purpose, and they just happened to have the technology at that time to go in and capture those blood clots, and also a new intravenous drug that I had to be on the whole time I was there that saved my life. And the ICU nurses, the gift from heaven itself, were waiting there for me, lined up to greet me because they couldn't believe I made it there alive, much less to the hospital alive, you know, much less to ICU. And they got me through the whole thing, the people in the cath lab and everything, and saved my life. And that changed everything for me. And I'd already been finding my way back to God after I was diagnosed with MS. You know, I didn't expect that. And I never believed what they told me, that they didn't know what caused it or why my immune system was attacking itself, et cetera. But nonetheless, I have this disease. But God blessed me through that. My cousin from Missouri sent me a beautiful novena for the infant Jesus of Prague for a case of urgent need, and that brought me back to the Lord, who I always believed in, but had fallen away from praying. And that brought me back to God, and I began to pray again. And my husband,
you had a whole room full of equipment, and
Yes, I couldn't move because I had to go to the cath lab and they had to go in there through my groin. I couldn't move for what they said 25 hours, but it was actually 35 hours because someone had a heart attack and they needed to take care of them before me. So it was very difficult for me. I had two pinched nerves in my lower back, and also my knees were not good, so it wasn't easy. But God brought me through, and ICU nurses were just so wonderful to me, and I thank the Lord for them. But that is what, again, got me realizing that this is God working through me. He began to work through me and began to accelerate my knowledge each and every day, speaking to me when I'm asleep. I mean, I would wake up knowing things that I didn't know before, and of course my research would then affirm many of the things that he was showing me, which is never easy, you know, to prove things of the supernatural on the external to unbelieving humanity who has had a right training in unbelief. You know, they keep the truth from us about God, and they disguise the powers that God has given his humanity, as Jesus says, greater things than we shall do. And that's what that meant, that
people know that. And also the phrase, why are ye fearful, ye of little faith, which is something the enemy, the Luciferian bloodline, has been using against God's humanity for thousands of years very effectively, because fear is a weapon. And once we are fearful, it gives off, it emits a lower frequency.
How about false illusions that appear real?
Oh, I've seen plenty of those.
That's called fear.
Well.
False illusions that appear real. Fear, I call it. Go ahead.
Exactly. And again, they continue to use fear because they go back to their ancient Babylonian playbook time and time and time again throughout the course of history, because it continues to work against humanity. We are fallible and imperfect, and you know, we tend to fall prey to these things, and they know it because they study us like insects. This is a bloodline. This is a group of individuals that look enough like God's humanity to fool humanity. And fool us, they most certainly have, for thousands of years, one malevolent Luciferian hidden generation after the next to the present day. And this is what we can't recognize, because we've been, again, been told we are the only ones here, that we were more evolved than every civilization that ever came before, which, of course, is another lie, making us believe that, you know, ancient civilizations were ignorant and slow and backwards, when in fact nothing could be further from the truth. And they were harnessing free energy out of the air. That God has always provided his humanity doing that. There was an entire race of people called the Tartarian people. There was a continent called Tartaria that I believe this Luciferian bloodline had to destroy because of their knowledge of being able to harness free energy, and their modern, basically more of a modern mentality of civilization at a time when no one would have expected it. And I also learned that has to do with something called the orphan train. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that before, but that was when there were thousands of displaced children. And when these buildings, these Tartarian buildings, are all over the world. They're in every country in the world. And I believe there was a mudflood unleashed on humanity by the same Luciferian bloodline via a frequency weapon that they use to cause these mudfloods. And, you know, it basically displaces this Tartarian people to every corner of the world. And their buildings were in California, and they turned their buildings there into psychiatric centers, and they put the parents in the psychiatric institutions, and many of them died there. They have large grave sites with thousands and thousands of bodies in it, and they displaced their children. And of course, these are Luciferian pedophiles. They are the vampires and cannibals walking amongst us that we thought were an ancient thing from the Mayan race or whatever that didn't exist anymore. Blood altar sacrifices of children, etc. Well, that, as we know, is going on to the present day. So, again,
basically, this has been going on since the beginning of the earth, when there was a war in heaven with the angels, and two-thirds or a third of them fell, with an estimated million, Genesis talks about. Would you be in agreement
exactly.
with that?
Okay. Yes. That's no. true. And I just saw a video called The Gene War with, I believe, a pastor, Andrew Billings from Australia, who basically goes through it all from the book of Genesis. And everything's in there. It's
now, they mate with humans. They mate with humans. Genesis, I forget what it was, 6 or 12, whichever. They mate with humans.
Yes.
And that's where Adam and Eve, had sex with the devil, and that was Cain and Abel. That's the story. One kills his brother. Who was the killer? That was the son of the bloodline of Satan himself. So, I mean, the Bible's pretty specific, in my opinion, certain things, even though I believe dispensationalism has hit the market. That is, you know, they've twisted and created religions such as the Catholic Church, the RLDS Church, the Mormons, you know, the Baptists, the different ones, and they all, you know, and there's different versions of the Bible, and we're missing books of the Bible, like
Book of Enoch.
Enoch,
yes.
Yeah, I've read Enoch and talking about they were cloning at that time, and of course, what did God do? He destroyed the place with a sulfur fire, but Sodom and Gomorrah. So I mean, we've had these battles with the devil. We've had them with God. We have a deal now, so people understand the bigger picture, because I know you do, and I know that Charlene Renee does. But you know, I'm familiar with the 2012 Alien Agreement, and that was signed between our government and the aliens, they called themselves, which were the fallen angels. And they gave us technology. John Lear, my friend, test pilot. His dad was Lear Jets. He sold the company in 1952, took the contract with the government, and built 150 flying saucers for the United States arsenal. Now, there were already these saucers, and we're the first, should we say, in our time frame, not totally in my generation, but in our timeline that we're living in now, was the Fallen Angels approached. First, it was J.P. Morgan. He was Fallen Angel possessed. These are like the 2,000 or 200,000 that are registered under the alien agreement with the NSA that they are possessed by aliens. That's what is known. And they've cloned 10 million in Hope, Arkansas. So they have an arsenal of these beings. But the 12 disciples of Satan, as they're known for, the 12 of control, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Larry Mizell, Patrick Wu, Daddy Bush, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Anwar Ben Shiri, Pope Benedict,
yes.
Anwar Ben Shiri, the head rabbi in Israel, et cetera. They're all
the
12.
All the pseudo elites of this
yeah,
world.
Yeah,
that
and they're called the, you've got it, they're called the 12 disciples of Satan today. But what had happened was Adolf Hitler, J.P. Morgan took after Nikola Tesla. They gave him the drawings on anti-gravity, which is the same thing as free energy and the same thing as space-time that they used the CERN collider in Switzerland to look into space-time, which they're saying, Otis told me, if we make 2025 before this big fireball hits us, six times the size of the planet, that they can't stop, and it's the end of us, he says we're going to be lucky to make it to that time frame. Now, Dane Wigginton, geoengineering, nice guy, he's smarter than heck, he's been putting out 2025 also recently, and Super Spook, Otis told me, he saw it in CERN, the NSA, because he was NSA. I mean, he did things nobody could believe. But here's the point about our time frame and a couple other things. These 200, what had happened, Nikola Tesla was given these drawings through J.P. Morgan, and he sets his thing up, builds it, two magnetic discs turned opposite of each other, or two wooden wheels that had magnetic discs or magnets on them, placed in certain positions, certain size, etc. And all of a sudden, his workbench went sideways. And he goes, whoa. So he turned it the other way and it lifted the workbench up off the ground. Nikola Tesla, they made movies about him. He, as the Tesla Society in Colorado Springs, which patriot groups hold meetings there, and I gave a speech there one time, and I saw his original free energy machine, just a small one that did this. And they had it encased in the glass, you know, for show and tell for the museum. But he was into not only that, but he cranked it up higher. And he found out that here he developed free energy. He had something that would anti-gravity, which he made the saucers out of. And the third was space-time. He cranked it up really high, and all of a sudden he sees a black hole, and he sees people on the other side, but they weren't wearing the same kind of clothes he was wearing. And he's figuring out what's going on. Well, they went further and set it up on a tower in Colorado Springs. This is for the edification of listeners. And what had happened was, they brought all these generals out there, and they're going to demonstrate that they can create a storm out of nowhere. This is HAARP, the beginning of HAARP, which we have now, the High Aurora Project, or whatever they call it. So he cranks it up, and all of a sudden lightning bolts are coming out of the sky, and a storm's creating, and shoots a couple colonels and generals and kills them. And they're like, you're out of business, pal. This is the devil. Well, they took the contract away from him. So J.P. Morgan goes to Adolf Hitler with it, with the technology. And that's when the aliens approached Adolf Hitler at that point, and Hitler made the first saucers, because Admiral Byrd reported the hollow earth when he chased the Nazi fleet, a Nazi fleet after World War II, into the southern hemisphere. He ended up in the South Pole, hollow earth, with a moon or a sun inside. Now, two Air Force jets under Operation Blue Book flew into the North Pole chasing two UFOs, told to chase them. Went in there and they said 65 kilometers wide. Well, the KGB at one time had a video up on YouTube showing how wide it was, because they took a picture from the air. But I saw a document in Otis's house, he had in his file cabinet, about Project Blue Book and the two Air Force jets and what the pilots wrote, which was still classified. they saw these saucers, a sun in there. It looked like the Garden of Eden type event. Admiral Byrd, when he chased them in there, he lost 2,000 men, came back and testified after World War II in secret for the Congress, and then later wrote a book, The Hollow Earth, and he described what he saw. But he had flying saucers trying to beat his ships up, and were, but they weren't stable because they had 50 calibers on them, and they weren't stable. They weren't able to stabilize the things the way they do now with lasers. So that's
weren't they able to go into the ocean and come out of the water?
Oh yeah,
well?
They're able. Yes, they are able to do that, and there are what are called underground alien bases.
And yes, I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, and here's why I know. Here's one example of super spook, Johnson. I get a call from this guy who I used to promote. I want to say. I get a call from him, and he said that the French found out, this is 2006 or 8 or whatever it was, that there was a French airliner that shot down. They had two French intelligence officers on it and a couple American intelligence officers, and it was shot down over some ocean out there. I forgot which one it was, and going back to France. So France sent in its French de Gaulle, they called it. It's an aircraft carrier. It has nuclear-tipped torpedoes on it, and et cetera. And so they went in there with that thing. And I got a call from this guy at 11 o'clock, and I, hey, you call Otis up and ask him if it's true that they're sending in the ship, and that they found out that an underground by satellite, they found out that an underwater, not underground, underwater saucer base, alien saucer base, was the one that shot the aircraft down. And they found out it was because of Daddy Bush gave the order. So the French send their de Gaulle in there to blast the place. Well, this guy calls me, and I said, no, I'm not going to call him. You know, it's after 10 o'clock. I don't call him because he gets pissed because he goes to bed. So I waited until the next morning. I called him up about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, hey, so-and-so called me, and he's telling me this stuff about the French are sending the de Gaulle in there, and they're going to destroy this saucer base. He goes, well, yeah, what about it? And I said, is it true? He said, well, let me put it this way. He says, I got the call. And he says, I was in charge that night on my shift, or on the day shift, or that night shift. He says, I got the call. And he says, I didn't even wake the president. We sent the USS such and such into a company, and we blew the shit out of the base. I said, with the call? He says, yes. And I said, was it an alien base? He says, yes. I said, did they get 150 saucers like so-and-so's claiming? He goes, no, we got 10 of them. And he says, you know what the funny part was, Stu? I didn't even call the president, Barack Obama, and tell him what was going on. I just did it. So that's what I know about saucers, aliens, and other things. They are the fallen angels in human form. And I said, well, that means all the leaders of the world, like Otis and others I've talked to, that means all the leaders of the world are possessed by these fallen angels. And they say, no, Stu, there are leaders that are fairly decent. They're not evil like these things are, and like these people that get possessed like this and worship them and so forth. He says, it's their aides that are giving them the disinformation and telling them what to do. It's their aides that are controlling them. I said, thank you, Otis. Go ahead.
Well, I know Eisenhower and even possibly Truman knew about these fallen angels, again, negotiated with them, like you said, but they used adrenochrome and chloroquine as their negotiating currency, if you will. This is what these voracious, malevolent fallen angels are all about, since they fell from heaven and to the earthly realm, as also on the Orion star system and other places in the universe. So they are taken to adrenochrome. This is what William Cooper was talking about when he would say that they would.
I knew Bill. I talked to Bill several times. Yeah, Bill had in his book The Pale Horse. He's got the document showing the United States Army created AIDS, folks, in late.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
60s.
There's no doubt whatsoever. No doubt. And as every disease, I believe, that has been afflicting humanity, because I always believed, even as a child, that God placed everything here on this earth for us to cure whatever ailments there are for humanity. They are here for us to find, and then he did find them, and they were, of course, dispatched permanently by those at the helm of Big Pharma, J.D. Rockefeller, who created Big Pharma out of a chemical company he had, because he realized he couldn't patent homeopathic remedies, but he himself used nothing but homeopathic homeopathic remedies for his entire miserable 98 years of life. So, you know, this is something that's been going on. But what people don't see is that they are a bloodline. They are a bloodline, a Luciferian serpent seed, biblically prophesied bloodline, that are forwarding an ancient extinction agenda against God's humanity on behalf of their father and master Lucifer. This is something they're born to do, and they must do. And there are those that found courage and strength and will to break free of Lucifer's iron grip of pedophilia, adrenochrome, chromochrome, other methods of control that he must exert to keep them on his reservation, if you will. But they are part of the bloodline, and also the things that are done to them in utero, they have no control over, so I feel very much compassion for them as they have to live a life that is a lie, pretend to be the opposite sex they were born to be. There's many things we can't see and still cannot recognize right now. And then again, they're looking up ladders to fool us because, again, they are, many of them are a spawn of the Nephilim that are the result of the fallen angels taking the form of human men, coming down, breathing their into the breaching the earthly realm, meeting with the women of the earth who were unknowing about it, and producing the Nephilim race, and the most intelligent of whom were predisposed genetically to eventually evolve to look more and more like God's humanity in order to fool humanity. And fool us, they will certainly have and continue to do to this present day. So they are a bloodline. And not everybody, but there's plenty of them. And they're all about procreating more and more of them. And I believe one of the reasons God had to flood the earth and why God let many of his humanity early on live to be 900 years of age and longer and told them go forth and multiply in order to get a head start against this malevolent competing race walking amongst us.
You have any comments?
This is something we can't recognize.
You have any comments, Charlene, Renee?
Everything she just said. Yeah, and she was telling me about this when I visited, and I had no idea about the different sexes. I didn't know about that.
So that's a really difficult agenda God has given me to reveal, because, you know, we are invested in these people in Hollywood. We are invested in a lot of them. They're the leaders of this world oftentimes, you know, and they're every level of elitism over God's humanity. They have their own competing system. In the schools, they're in our pre-kindergartens on up the line, and they're studying us like insects. And so that's how they view us, as insects. And they are taught to imitate our God-given attributes, which they themselves are born devoid of, in order to ingratiate us to them, so that when the truth does come out, we will have mercy on them. This is part of the agenda, you know. And we can't see it, and we still can't see it. And it's a difficult thing for people to grasp. I understand that.
I think now we're having an awakening like we've never had before and seen before. And I say that because...
I agree, dude, so much. I agree.
Yeah, I think people are awakened because of this vaccination, this COVID stuff, and all the other... I'd like to play this audio. I don't know whether you two will be able to hear it, but it will be able to play into the recording. And it's the latest thing, and I don't want to use it because of the words that are being used, but I think it's important to understand this, folks. Now, this is a recording of people chanting at a Shea Stadium baseball game this past week, and they're going nuts. And when I say they're going nuts, they went nuts for quite a long period of time. Now, apparently, it happened yesterday in Pittsburgh, the same thing. It happened when the guy won the NASA race car, Brandon, whatever his name was, and it happened there also. Now, what I'm getting ready to play, I'm playing off my phone here. This is Shea Stadium. Now, listen to what they say. You two may not be able to hear it, because when I play something like that, sometimes you can't hear it on the phone, but the audience will be able to hear it, and then I'll ask you if you did hear it. Hang on. Okay, just stay there. Hang on.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies.
Yeah.
It was in Shea Stadium. The people, the audience at halftime, were screaming, pardon the expression, folks, fuck Joe Biden. And they did the same thing in Pittsburgh yesterday. They did the same thing at the racetrack at the NASA race this past week. And now the real one, I got to get the video and try to get it on my website now since I'm operational again and cost me a lot on my computers. But here's the point. There's another video that they put on another website. I got to find it. But it showed him at some doing a speech, Biden. Protesters outside by the street. A bus full of elementary kids drive by. They hang out the window screaming, fuck Joe Biden. Elementary school kids hear it, and they start repeating it, screaming out the window, and somebody took a video of it. I mean, this is what's sweeping the nation this week. And apparently it's been going on for several weeks. Now, that tells you, and this guy's been in office about 10 months. I mean, they don't trust the government and these lying, evil people. Joe Biden's a known pedophile. His wife murdered his first wife in a car crash, rolled, ran his son, and then she ends up marrying him.
And that's not a woman. She's not a woman.
I don't know what it is. All I know is Joe Biden's evil.
If you look and see, her face looks more and more like a man every time. The older they get, the more they show their true sex. And this is what adrenochrome and chromochrome are for as well, because they are known as a fountain of youth drug, which is derived, of course, from the tortured, raped, and murdered children, getting their fight or flight reaction, which causes the adrenaline to flow into their bloodstream. This is what gives them, helps them to retain their youthful looks. And again, also gives them a high. It's a hallucinogenic drug, more powerful than LSD. And it's, again, a control mechanism, but it's extremely lucrative. We're talking quadrillions, hundreds of quadrillions of dollars. For this adrenochrome and chromochrome. Adrenochrome is derived from the pituitary, or rather from the pineal gland, and the chromochrome is derived from the pituitary gland. And they're very much desired, and they're also something considered a delicacy by the pseudo elites, and it goes for top dollar. And what I believe the abortion industry and Planned Parenthood have been doing all along. I can't prove it, of course, but this is what I suspect. No one can tell me that they're not going to try to take advantage of this mostly unregulated industry to make quadrillions, hundreds of quadrillions of dollars selling this horrible drugs, and they found a way to turn it into a powder form, which makes it much easier to conceal and ship without being recognized, and again, is worth more money than anyone could possibly imagine. And this is what's going on, I believe, in the industry and the Planned industry as well. So, it has always been devised as sacrifices to fail. That's what it's always been about.
So that's the reason for the human sacrifices. Kill the beast and all the Templars and the Illuminati coming together on the summer and winter solstice in Denver that I've reported on, etc. So, I mean, isn't it that when they do a human sacrifice and they drink the blood of another that they're getting like an adrenaline rush? They get something in it?
Absolutely, Stu. That's exactly right. And we're talking even Pope Benedict. We're talking at the top of the Vatican. It is outrageous. And they have corrupted every religion in the history of this world. And even as they have corrupted everything in this world, from the local state to federal level, and similarly throughout the entire world. This is how they've done it. They put a Freemason lodge in every small town in this country. And Freemason at the highest level, at the 33 degree and above level, are Luciferians. And this is what George H.W. Bush, and also has the other secret society, Sun and Bones is what George H.W. Bush was also a part of, but it's a secret society that we have not recognized that have made so much of an inroad against us without even realizing it.
So he was the first fallen angel possessed president that we had.
Wow, I had not thought of that.
George H.W. Bush is known as the 12th. He was attending the parties with my ex-witch doctor that I did not know who her father was, Leonard Milne, mm-hmm. that owned Silverado, that was the one that took over from Meyer Lansky, which was the Jewish crime syndicate who was partners with Daddy Bush. He had Neil Bush director at Milne's Silverado. that I exposed. I caused those four congressional investigations on Silverado,
God bless
the Denver
you for that,
Airport.
Steve. God bless you.
Yeah, but, you know, they retaliated heavily, but I just want to tell you that these people do the human sacrifices in Denver, and they are the 12 richest on the planet. In 1981, the General County Office, which is the watchdog over the U.S. Congress, Senate, giving them information from the Treasury, Comptroller of Currency, IRS, etc., they reported that 1% of the population in the United States controlled 20% of the GDP, or the economy, that is. And they said that 80% of the people control, or 99% of the people controlled the other 80% of the economy. Well, that was a strong number. Daddy Bush arrives, and all of a sudden Iran-Contra happens, and he's stealing the hell out of the country, robbing and looting and doing everything else, drugs and guns and everything, set up a whole network of this crap after being CIA director. And when he comes in after, you know, he shooting Ronald Reagan right off because Hinckley attended Neil Bush's birthday party in Denver that night after his brother shot, Hinckley shot Reagan. And it was happened that Daddy Bush was having lunch with Hinckley's father at the vice president's house on that day of the shooting. Now, that was intentional. It didn't go down. And Reagan set up a special oversight committee because he thought it was the CIA did it. Ross Perot turned out to be one of the committee members. He resigned in retaliation and set up, and he took information from me while I was hiding from the FBI for a year, while he was running for office of president. He backed off because of a phone call to him about them blackmailing him, and then he came back in the race, and I called him and said in September, and I'm hiding from the FBI, I said, Ross, do you really think you're going to get elected? He says, dude, I'm not trying to. I'll pull enough votes off of George Bush to knock him out of office. Bill Clinton is hung over his Iran-Contra drug stuff. He says, Al Gore is not perfect, but at least he isn't involved in the shit that they're involved with. And he says, we'll be able to take the country back. Well, it didn't happen. And he did everything he could. Well, he set up after he left the oversight committee beforehand, he appointed 150 CIA agents and 150 IRS agents volunteered to be part of the team. And they called it the M&L Business Machine Sting Operation, which included other things of the bust of John Gotti, as an example. It was the bust was going to be the bust of Kurz and the drugs and Neil Bush and the drugs and Jeb Bush and everybody else, but didn't go down. I was invited to the grand jury that was set up in 1997, went to the grand jury room and was told by an FBI agent named Mark Holslaw that I'm not going through the door here. He's going to arrest me and I'm going to become a prisoner again. And I said, I was invited. Here's my subpoena. You go through that door and we're going to arrest you for trespassing on government property or whatever the hell he said. So I said, okay, fuck you, you know, I'll be back tomorrow. So I leave, I make a phone call, and I heard that they closed the jury down later. Someone called me that was involved, and an agency guy calls me and told me they closed the jury down, that some troll from the U.S. Attorney's Office named Kaufman had settled a deal where Leonard Melman, my ex-wife's father, George Bush's partner in crime, the Jewish Crime Syndicate, that owns the world's largest bank, by the way, HSBC Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp., owned by Great West Life of Denver, that created Imperial Savings and all kinds of others that they collapsed. But here was the point. They closed that down. Milman paid an $80 million fine. He had 1 year to pay it. Larry Mizell paid $10 million. He's an APEC director and took over for Milman. He's now the one possessed after Milman died in 2004. The alien leaves him and goes in the possession of the other one that they anoint. And then you have Norman Brownstein, who's an APEC director that was Daddy Bush's 6th CI counsel, who Milman hired out of law school with Larry Mizell in 1972. And Mizell, the attorney, started building Richmond American Homes, they started, MDC Holdings. And Brownstein became an attorney setting up corporations for Milman, who later became one of the top CI counsel to George Bush when he was CI director. They're APEC directors. They were the Keating 5 scandal, I caused, which was the MDC 200. And then it came to the point now they just hand the Congress and Senate whatever amount of the money they want through APEC, the American-Israeli Pact, which controls the Congress and Senate, and in order to receive money from them, you have to sign an agreement, according to Cynthia McKinney, who I interviewed and who's a friend of mine, okay? And she said that they told her if she didn't sign the APEC agreement, she wasn't going to be Congresswoman anymore. Guess what? She lost by one vote. But that's how much power these people have. And here's what the General Accounting Office said about them. It said, here in 1981, they're saying they report to the Congress, the Senate, they have no arrest authority. Just report off these numbers. 1% controlled 20% of the economy. In 2012, this is 20 years later, 2012, the General Accounting Office is reporting that 400 men control 95% of the U.S. economy. 400 men, the buffers, they're called. The ones that are out on the front end, like the, you know, J.P. Morgan Group and the others. Then it said that Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein both control over 92% of the U.S. pension funds, because one owns Kemper, it's under Kemper, and the other one's under Great West Life, that they bought from J.P. Morgan when I caused the bank bailout scandal on them, and they had to pay a $2.5 billion fine. Mizell did, and all that. I never was paid my reward, by the way, because they never pay whistleblower rewards. The government doesn't, just thought I'd tell you. Even if you sue them, you're lucky to barely get it. But that was the deal, and now they're in control of the Federal Reserve through BlackRock, Blackstone, which was created through one of the Council of Foreign Relations member set up by Milman to launder the drug money from Silverado and Iran-Contra, and they created a giant real estate commercial property division. And so that's how they came up. But they ended up taking over the Federal Reserve under Mnuchin, that Trump appointed. Yeah. And Mnuchin was part of it. He was part of Goldman Sachs that was involved in the mortgage fraud. They were writing mortgages on houses that did not exist. That they bought the mortgage through their mortgage company in Denver, American something, I think of it. They would buy them there. Then they duplicated the mortgages up to 9 times fold, and they were selling them all over around the world. And that's what bank bailout collapse was about. Then they come back and say, oh, we own your mortgage on people today. And they foreclosed since 2008 on over 12,000 people claiming they own their mortgage. And all they're doing is stealing their equity because they already own their mortgage.
We don't own anything now. They also, the royal family owns all the U.S. patents. They own all the patents in the world. We have no ownership of anything, including the stocks and bonds, etc.
No. The only thing we have, the only thing that separates us from them, other than, oh, they've got all the money, and if they do more evil, they make more money, they're paid higher, and all the other stuff that goes within government, it goes in the private sector, the whole bit. Because who they love and worship. And it's usually centered around the almighty money, and they'll do anything for it. Now, the other side of the equation is the godly equation. And you know we have more power and authority, I know the two of you do, than any of them. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, that's what happened. We have so much power and authority, we can put them in chains. If enough people
do it. They know this, Stu. They study us like insects, as I said. They know the Bible inside and out, backwards and forwards.
Yep.
And they've been using our ignorance of it against us all along.
Through dispensationalism. Exactly. Go ahead.
And in the town that I live in, this is a very Masonic town. Most of the women are in the Eastern Star, and most of the men are in the Masons. And what's so really upsetting is they have put in our town an arch of Baal. Yes, it's a portal. So in the Bible, it explains that the arch of Baal, when you look through it, you could see the church on the other side. Well, in our town, when you stand and you look through this arch that they made out of black horseshoes, they painted the horseshoes black. And at the top, they've got this, like the sun with the rays coming off of the sun. And then they've got love written at the top in white letters. But the whole thing is made of black horseshoes. And so when you stand and you look through this arch, you see the First Baptist Church, where most of the masons in town go, and most of the redhead ladies from all over go to this church. Anyway, then on the other side of the road is a black owl on a big post. So on one corner is the Arch of Nail, and on the other corner is, and right across the road on the other corner, is this owl, a black owl, and he's perched way high, about the same height as this arch is. So they're doing this right in front of us.
Oh, yeah, Pastor, I know, absolutely, that's what they do.
This is so evil. And so not only in Airtown, but surrounding towns and counties that
I believe the Arch of St. Louis is a huge portal. Amanda Grace was just there, and she said that is definitely an evil portal. As a kid, I didn't want to go up the arch. My parents said, we're going to go up to the top of the arch. You've got this in this full capsule all the way up there. And it freaked me out and gave me the creeps, you know. And it is a portal, like you said. And they're all over this country and the world.
If you look up giants, there's a big base. There's a big base of former giant base over there east of St. Louis. Just punching giant bases
surprised.
Around the U.S. underground type stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, their underground dumps are all over the place as well in America and throughout the entire world. That gene of decode name has been exposing, and our military and White House have been basically routing and destroying, using the rods of God to eliminate many of these major elaborate underground dumps, deep underground facilities that they have built where we didn't know it, beneath our feet. This is where they take many of the children that they have in their child sex trafficking rings and keep them in cages to small for them to stand in, stacked one on top of the other that are electrified in order to drive and pull their adrenochrome from them. You know, some of these kids have lived down there for many generations, have never been able to stand or walk, have never seen the sun, and they can't go up to the surface because they get the bends like divers do in the oceans when they come too fast, and it kills them. You know, this is what the military is finding when they're rescuing these children beneath in these underground military domes that have been hidden away from us. And
you know, George
also
Bush,
in the entrance ways, they find this interesting. In all of the entrance ways of these many domes out west here in America, they have a triangular shaped landing pad. And we know that they have a black triangular shaped ship
that
break into smaller triangular ships.
Yep.
That we've seen pictures of.
I'll tell you, they've been kidnapping. That's what I was told by different super spooks, okay? Because I got to know three of them. I mean, these are 007. The government spent probably $150 million in training throughout their lifetimes. I think they're all retired now. I won't say no more. But they told me that 1 million kids a year are kidnapped worldwide and taken out to Beatty, Nevada, northwest of Las Vegas, and then they're transported out to Papoose Lake, Nevada. Papoose Lake, Nevada is the alien base that my friend Ed Slade was a U.S. scientist, a Jew at the time. On his day of retirement and others, they hit him with energy weapons to kill him. Ed survived in a coma for 2 years, woke up, and I helped bring him back to life in memory on a couple of things, but he got his memory back. And then they murdered him because he was trying to cash in some war bonds that the enemy had sold him over the years. But he answered to Rothschild. Meyer Rothschild was the one he answered to. But when Kennedy got murdered, they called in because he was a U.S. scientist. They called him in because Johnson wanted a weapon. He wanted an automatic with a short barrel, and he wanted a 100-round clip in it. So Ed took a regular automatic he found that was a good one, and he walked around with his hand in his pocket all the time. And he asked him, and he made a sling for him, got all the stuff set up as a scientist. But he said, what do you want this for? He says, he's Mr. President. He says, because he says, if they come to kill me, he says, I'm going to kill everything around me before they get me. Now, that was Johnson, but that was Ed Slade. Now, Ed, when they landed on the moon, Ed was the one that designed the jet propulsion system, and he was at Kennedy Space Center when they landed it. And after they landed, they came up congratulating him, and he was in shock. And he was shaking people's hands, but he wasn't responding. He says, Stu, he says, I was sitting there saying those sons of a bitches lied to me that they're using my jet propulsion system, which I'm being credited for, and he still is. But he says, I didn't do it. He says, nothing blew off the moon. He said they used anti-gravity. So then he says later, I wanted to be there when the module came back, because he said, I wanted to examine it. So they let him be on the ship. They picked up the astronauts and the module, and he got examined. He says, the son of a bitch has used anti-gravity and gave me credit for the propulsion system. It pissed him off. But he said the technology was so far advanced. He says, Stu, you're never to tell anybody until after I'm dead. Well, they murdered him. And they found 2,000 spots on his brain when they x-rayed his brain upon his death. 2,000 spots from lasers or whatever energy weapons that they were shooting with him to kill him. Now, Ed told me, he said, you can tell the story afterwards of the technology, but he said, Stu, we got an airplane called the Aurora that flies at 36 to 39,000 miles. It shape shifts in midair. The whole bit, it's the reason we have an Air Force space now. They finally admitted to it because of the technology we have. But here's the point. He said, I made a loaf of bread. The alien base that he worked at is next door to Groom Lake. Groom Lake has Area 51 there, the test site, our government test site. I know a lot of people that have flown into Papoose, and I've known people that flowed into Groom Lake, okay, test site. Spooks. John Lear worked there at one time. His dad built the first saucers, I mentioned. Now, here's what I was told. A combination of things from Ed. And about Beatty, I want to mention that too, about that warehouse where they transport the kids over to Papoose. And then they take them to other planets, supposedly the fallen angels. But they're using their blood because of the endorphins or something in their blood is what they're after. And to make them slip.
Adrenochrome, yes.
Okay. Which you touched on.
Fight or flight. Adrenaline.
Okay. Now, he told me he made a loaf of bread out of element 115 that didn't appear at one time on the chart. It's mu metal. It's what they make the robotoids out of. Robotoids are human-looking things. They crap, they drink, the whole bit, but they're machines. And they have an external skeleton. If you ask a question, why is it after that riot down there in St. Louis, Ferguson, where they had all the black riot and everything over shooting or something a few years back? Why is it that every one of them were arrested within a short period of time after the riots stopped? Because they sent robots in, robotoids. They look human. They act human. They talk human. And they shook everybody's hand. Well, when they shook their hands holding up a sign with the other hand, they were fingerprinting them. That's how they got them all that were involved in the riots. Now, that's the technology we have. But what Ed had explained to me was that he was told to fuse 115, 116, 117, and 118, which is the saucers are made out of, called Napoleon. That's top secret. Napoleon. We're up to 132 on the element chart. Now, what's interesting, what the fallen angels are after, and they use the Bible code to try to do this, was the Israelis came up with this Bible code. Then they tried to infiltrate the Christian community to see if anybody would be able to figure it out. But there's apparently in either Psalms or Proverbs, according to the Bible code, there's 149 elements on the planet. And the fallen angels haven't found them yet. They need the humans to identify these things. But they're up to about 130 or 132 now, which are top secret. But the element chart won't show you that. But the Napoleon is the flying saucers at 118. So he fuses 115, 6, 7, and 8 together, takes in a loaf of bread from his aliens that are working there at his lab at Papoose Lake, and he takes this loaf of bread-sized chunk of metal, and he's to meet this alien, at such and such a time in a pyramid north of New Mexico or Mexico City. And normally, he said, summertime, 5 o'clock, people were there. There wasn't anybody there. He goes out there, and it's a Nordic-looking guy, 7 feet, 6 inches tall. And he walks up to him and calls him by his name. He said, well, you must be Ed Slay. He says, yes, sir. He says, did you bring me what you were supposed to make me? He says, yes. Let me see it. And he takes it, holds it. He says, here. Hands it to Ed. And he says, take it out there and set it down about 50 yards. So Ed took it out, set it down for 50 yards. He says, now come back here. I'll show you what you made me. He said, turn around and look out that direction. All of a sudden, turned into flying saucer. And he goes, how'd you do that? He said, I thought into a saucer. He said, now you try. Boom, he turns it back to a loaf of bread. He said, now you try it. Ed says, I can't do that. He says, yeah, you can. You think it into a saucer. He says, start thinking. Close your eyes. Think of it as being a saucer. Then all of a sudden, he starts reading his mind. Here's the key. He's telling Ed, you're thinking the wrong way. Ed, start thinking this way. Start thinking that way. Oh, Ed, guess what? Open your eyes. Look what you made. So he took Ed out in outer space, gave him a quick trip around the planet, brought him back.
Yeah, it's amazing what can be done with mind over matter.
They read your mind. These fallen angels read the human's mind and thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Now I understand a little bit about why I had my hand shook and nothing was there. That was really strange. So now I kind of understand what happened, but I would like you to explain that a little more, because that happened to me.
What in particular, Charlene?
I understand now a little bit about why I had my hand shook. So I couldn't understand what that was. So I was actually getting my finger. Somebody was actually taking my fingerprint.
Oh, it could be if it was a robot. Yeah, if it was a robotoid, they called them. They made them, actually, the Chinese made them first. Daddy Bush, the U.S. government came up with them with DuPont. DuPont made them in 1990. But they had the drawing and the technology, and they'd already done an experiment and put a couple of them together. And then Daddy Bush goes and sells our top secret robotoids to the Chinese, who make a bunch of them. And the guy with Evergreen Airlines, Evergreen, the CIA airline, okay, Evergreen, he was in jail with
me. Like
he was in jail with me.
As
a, yeah, he was in jail with me as a political prisoner. And here's what he told me. Because everybody was revealing to Stu, because he's the whistleblower. And he has the media contacts, and everybody needed him. Well, he goes and tells me, he says, they had him falsely arrested so they could take over Evergreen, which was involved with Jeb Bush and flying drugs and guns and weapons and the Clintons and everybody else. And Evergreen Evergreen containers. These are containers they take off for railroad cars, big ones. Evergreen containers are sitting around in different places around the country. I've seen them in rural towns. I've seen them. There's one over here, as a matter of fact, not far from me, probably about 15 miles. That's a some kind of so-called contractor, but they've got the Evergreen containers sitting there.
Yeah, they now, took children in those.
Here's what I was told. That Daddy Bush, to take over America one day, allowed the Chinese, he gave them the technology, they came up real quick, built these robots that stand 6 feet 2 inches tall, and they look oriental. They look like Chinamen, okay? Except they're standing 6 feet 2 inches tall, and they're robots, and they're in these containers, and they can take a satellite and activate one of them, who then opens up the door and activates the rest of them. Now, these things, the only way you can kill these robots is an armor-piercing bullet to the head, because they put the computers in the head like human beings' brains are. But they have 200,000 of these parked around the southern border and in the Midwest of the United States to attack America one day. Now, this is the guy that owned Evergreen Airlines, shared that secret in secret with me. So go screw yourself, all of you. I don't like my government. I don't like the crime syndicate running it. We got a constitution. We have free speech, First Amendment, and that's what the Second Amendment's for, is to guarantee that. And I don't like what they're doing with me, especially the attacks on me, my website, my computers, and the other stuff, folks. They've hit me hard the past 2-3 months. Go ahead.
Stu, let me ask you, is that robot the same one that they claim will knock on your door if you let it in? It looks like a normal person, but you let it in, and its stomach is big enough where they can cut you up and eat you and leave. And so your body is inside of this robot's stomach, and nobody knows where you went. So,
I don't know about that. All I know is they're robotoids. They look human. They perfected them. They've upgraded them. And all this, according to someone that I know is a super spook, recently spoke to him. and they told me they got them all upgraded, and that they're breathing, they drink, they breathe, they crap, they piss, the whole bit. They even F. They even have sex, so you don't know you're having sex with a robot. I mean, that's how bad it is.
I'm not opening my door.
Their deviancy knows no limits, obviously. I mean, they've been doing this stuff and cloning one another, and they believe they have multiple lives because of cloning. George H.W. Bush is supposedly on his last dying breath, supposedly when he was executed, claimed that they could transfer souls. It was a secret he supposedly revealed right before he allegedly died.
I don't think he's dead, by the way. I think he's alive in Paraguay, quite frankly, because it's the largest aquifer, the cleanest aquifer on the planet. And he sent
That's
a U.S. Air Force boring machine down there, and had because he bought up all the land in Paraguay, about 80% of it. And he took a U.S. Air Force boring machine, had it sent down there underneath, I think it was his son, Junior, and they bored a big tunnel through a mountain hill, or not mountain, but a, you know, kind of a hilly area that they had down there, and it was above the aquifer. That's where he made his new headquarters, quote unquote. And somebody told me that they saw him at the CIA. We have one CIA air base. The CIA was given an air base with its own nukes under Daddy Bush. Matter of fact, they lost a nuke over Colorado many years ago up in the mountain range near Aspen, and was hunting it all over the place because the aircraft dropped the nuke. No, Daddy Bush sold the nuke and made money off of it. Here's the point. Here's the point. It was a CIA air base called Miranda Air Base. It was part of Iran-Contra. Still does to guns and drugs, and was with Charles Keating. Okay? Or not Charles Keating, but John McCain. And I put Debbie Davis, the whistleblower, on. She was on with Renee.
I listened to that last night. It was very interesting.
But she has tons. McCain was running a major drug gun operation for Daddy Bush. And for the Mossad, for Milman, Mizell now. But that's some of the stuff that I'm aware of and know. And I know this, that we are living in a time frame when they can look through CERN and say planet Earth is going to end before 2025. We are living in a time so evil that with the vaccinations and the mark of the beast and the chip being in there and saying, oh, well, you can't buy or sell, it's mandatory, you're not going to get on the airline, you're not going to go to the grocery store unless you've had your vaccination. What I'm hearing today from different ones that I've got to go in and get these reports on. Now, supposedly Colonel Roy Potter is reporting and put some excellent video up that shows there is a DNA of aliens, which is the fallen angel DNA, that they have in the vaccinations. And it grows something inside your body. And it changes your way of thinking and turns you into a friggin' robot.
Yeah, that's their intent. It's always their intent. I mean, they've been doing this stuff for God knows how long. This is what they want. But I beg to differ. They will not succeed. God is coming for them. That's a biblical prophecy. Everything is about biblical prophecy. Everything has been preordained, predestined, long before God even created the earth. And God had to sit back and watch what they have been doing and could not do anything about it because God can do anything. But God will never and can never change biblical prophecy. But now biblical prophecy has turned against them. And God is coming for his biblically prophesied day of vengeance towards them. And they will be defeated at this time in history. But it will be incumbent upon the rest of us who have been made and been brought to this knowledge to then make sure to be ever vigilant, ever cognizant of all that is going on in America and throughout the world, because their proclivities make them stick out like a sore thumb. Their addictions to pedophilia, symbolism, gematria, black magic, all of these things make them very vulnerable to being spotted wherever they are. And this has happened throughout the course of history. And when they have been discovered by others of humanity in the past, they simply went underground and would wait patiently in several generations for our human predictable memories to fade and our predictable short lifespans to end. And then up they would come again and it would start it all over again. And of course, with mass communication abilities, they have progressed to this point in time in history. But they will be defeated now. And again, it will be up to us to prevent them from coming back, because evil will always be walking amongst us upon this earth. They're never going to go away. Earth is but a picture. midst of a short period of time, a learning ground on the road to eternal home in heaven. But God will have his say, and God will prevail over them at this time in history.
And so we are, and one thing about it, us humans that believe in Jesus Christ, God Almighty, he was in human form, in my opinion. It's not his son, it's him. Now, he walked without sin. We don't, I don't walk. I commit sin every so often. I mean, I'm just, we're humans.
We're all fallible.
We're humans. But I come to my hands and knees at least asking for forgiveness, and I know he does. But here's something that he has taught me, the power of prayer. And I'll demonstrate as an example. And I'm not somebody special, but that's what he gave me, a gift. And it was in around 97, I think, when I really got saved and committed to him. And that was also 2 weeks later, Millman pays an $80 million fine and doesn't go to prison. But it cost him some money because of Ross Perot. Now, I went and got baptized in a snowstorm in a hot tub outside. It wasn't hot. It was kind of cold that night up there in Colorado, up in Greeley, I think it was. Anyway, but things changed. And he taught me the power of prayer in a certain way to show that you got to be careful who you pray with, what you're praying for. And he demonstrated to me over the next few years, as an example, one girl, she wanted prayer. She was a believer. She lived in a complex. I was living in a condo. I was sharing with a friend in a two-bedroom condo, two baths. But she come walking by, and I'm out on the patio, and I'm talking to somebody on the patio, and she waves at me, and I signal her over, and I'd met her once before, and she had a couple little kids. I think one of them was about a year or two old, about 2 years old, walking. And so, anyway, good-looking gal. She was married, but she lived in a condo up the sidewalk a little bit. And so she came over and started talking, and she's telling me all kinds of stuff, and then she starts opening up to me and starting to tell me about her husband, how he got on a crack pipe, and he's at a crack house right now, and she can't do anything about it, and he's got on this, he was off this stuff for years, and he got hooked back on it, and the whole bit, and she's been out of shape, and here they go to church someplace, and the whole bit. So I said, well, you know, what you need to do is pray against it. You need to get serious with your prayers. So I called this friend of mine up while she was there, because I invited her to sit down on the patio and have a cup of coffee, and her kids, I gave them something to eat, you know, like a donut or something. And so I'm talking to her without mentioning names. And I put Lisa on the phone, my friend, who's a prayer warrior. Oh, my God. She has power. And I can tell you about a prayer we prayed and stopped the pyramid from shooting its laser beams on New Year's Eve 2000. Long story. But, and Lisa, I introduced her to her husband. God did that with me. Now, here's what's interesting. Is I called Lisa and she said, well, Stu, what do you want to do? I said, well, I think we need to pray with him. She said, well, I'll be over in a little while. So she comes over about a half an hour, 45 minutes later. She lived over at Lakes, Nevada, nice area, nice homes. She come over. And so we went up to girl's house. I forgot her name. We went up to her place, and we went in, and we sat down and talked to her, and she had a belief and faith, and she went to a church every week and all this stuff. So we prayed with her, and I got on my knees. Lisa got on her knees, and we prayed and asked God to show anything evil in that house, and to restore her marriage and to get Satan out of her life and her husband's life and to get him off the crack pipe and bring him home. Well, I get up and something told me to ask the kids, is there anything evil in this house? Because the kids got down there and prayed with us, or not the littlest one. And the older one says, what? Do you have anything evil in this house? Go in your bedroom, look and see if there's anything evil. He brings back some evil doll statue, you know, one of these Star Wars type deal, you know, with horns in it. Uh-huh. He brings back that. And he identified it. The Holy Spirit had him bring it. And the mother was shocked. And I said, put it on the table. He said, on the table. I said, now go in there and see if anything else. I asked the little one, I said, is there anything evil in your room? Let's go in and look. She grabs me by the hand, takes me in there, and she starts fumbling through stuff. both of those kids emptied out half of their toys that looked evil. The mother was shocked. Then I asked the mother, I said, do you have anything evil? And she looks at me, and she looks at Lisa, and she goes in her bedroom, and she brings back a doll. And it's one of those ceramic dolls from years ago that she was given as a kid. And the eyes on that were totally evil. And I said, is that what you identify as evil? She says, those eyes are evil. I said, put it on the table. She said, oh, that's worth a lot of money. I said, put it on the table. So she didn't, and we prayed about it. And she agreed to go put it in the trash. So she got a trash bag out. I took it out to the dumpster, except I walked a block away. In the other part of the complex I lived in to make sure she didn't find the bag to bring it back. Later on that evening, I saw her out digging in the trash barrel. She couldn't get it. The next day, she walks up to me, and she says, you're not going to believe what happens, Stu. You're not going to believe what happened. Would you come over later this afternoon, you and Lisa? I said, what's this about? What time? What's this for? She says, my husband's coming back in a half an hour. We're going to talk. He got off the crack pipe, and everything was okay for about 4 or 5 months. Then she comes to me. She came to me within about a month after they got back together. She says, Stu, we got a problem. And he was with her. And, yeah, we got a problem. The church we go to, the minister wants to have a special meeting tonight on a Wednesday with us for some reason. But something's telling us this is evil, that you need to go with us. I said, what do I need to go for? Well, we want you there. So I went in. I sat down in the lobby while they go in to see the preachers, three preachers, and I'm praying against the enemy. And then they come out and said, sir, you're going to have to go with them, et cetera. And so I walked down the hallway out the back door with them as they're being pushed out the back door, and I am. And I said, what happened? They said they expired or kicked us out of the church because that preacher's got the hots for me and all this other stuff, and I'm back with my husband. They don't want us to be in this church. I said, go out to the car, get in the car. So they drove or went out. They took my keys. They went out and got in the car. I got on my hands and knees in the corner of the church and prayed to God empty the place out and bring people to salvation. Do you know that the church that they went to after that, within a week or two, they started attending another church? That thing ended up 80% of the people were removed from that church and went over to this other church where they were getting the true word. That's the power of God.
Praise the Lord, exactly. Exactly.
Another event was four kids. Lisa calls me up and says, Stu, I got a problem. Ira's at work tonight, working late shift, and I got four teenagers getting together over at my house at 5 o'clock. And this is like about 4 o'clock. I said, what's this about? She says, well, I found child porno in Justin's room or Dustin's room and all this stuff. And I said, well, he's 15 years of age. She says, yeah, or not child porno, but porno, Playboys and Penthouse magazines, you know, all this stuff. I said, he's at that age, you know. And she says, yeah, I know. But she says, you know, she's running around the other three teenagers and one of them, you know, he's driving mama's Mercedes and all the other. And I just want to set them straight. So she said, would you come over and talk to them? They've agreed to talk about Jesus tonight. And Ira's not going to be here. I said, okay, I'll come over. So I went over there, and I prayed about it with her, with them, held their hands, prayed with them, and the whole bit. But I said, Lord, I said, show me what you want me to tell them or what we're supposed to say here this evening. Well, Lisa's talking. She's reading a couple of verses and talking about, you know, your behavior and the way you're supposed to be and so forth, trying to train your kid and train the others. And God told me to ask him, if he would answer your prayer, what would it be? So the first one I asked him, he drives a Mercedes, mama's a Mercedes, and they live in a 3,000 square foot house. And they're up on a hill where they actually have a walkout basement in Las Vegas. It's up there near the lakes. And it was in a cul-de-sac. And his father was a millionaire. He invested in Yahoo and made a lot of money. And stock. And so anyway, he had his own little Mercedes to drive. He had his own little pad downstairs with the kitchen, dining room, and everything in it. Downstairs, walk out, look out to the Las Vegas Strip. Well, I asked him, I said, if God would answer any prayer for you tonight, what would it be? But one condition to the prayer is that if he answers your prayer, you're to serve him from this day forward. And the kid's about 16 years of age. He's the one with the license. And he says, I want to see if hell is real. I was kind of shocked. I said, okay, You want to see if hell is real. Now, I said, what about you, Dustin? This is Lisa's son. He says, I want a new pair of shoes. I said, what? You don't have the money for shoes? No, I got the money, because Lisa always took her, she was divorced, and she would always take that money and put it directly in his account, and he could spend it for clothes and different stuff and save it for his education, child support. So he said, oh, no, I got plenty of money. He said, I just can't find my brand in my size. He had big feet. So he had been at all the shoe stores around town. So I said, okay. I said, if God granted you, what would you have? And Azari, I think was his name. He was Arab, but his parents were Christians. His father was a doctor, as I recall. He says, I want to have peace. Or he said, no, Azari says, I'm sorry, there was the fourth one said that. He says, I want the gift of healing. I said, what? He says, I want the gift of healing. I said, okay. So the fourth one, I asked him, and his parents were having a rough time because the father lost his job and they were running out of money and they were fighting a lot. And anyway, the father gets a job after that, after the prayer, but here's the deal. He wanted peace and harmony in his home. I said, okay. So I didn't say nothing. So I went before God. I started praying. And all of a sudden, or before I had asked them about what they would do, what prayer they wanted answered in exchange for you to serve God thereafter. What I'd said to them, and I forgot to say this on the air, was that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit had me look at the door, and I turned around and looked, and I could feel the presence of Jesus, two or more coming together to pray. And I heard him say, ask him one request. And that's what I asked him. And that's the answers I got. So I said, okay, let's pray about this. So I started praying. And the one kid says, I changed my mind. I don't want to see hell. I want to see heaven. I said, okay. So we prayed about it. Then Lisa reports to me about a week later. She calls me up and says, dude, you can't believe what happened. I said, what happened? She says, Dustin, he was a champion of one of these kids that dance around on his head dancing, you know.
Yeah.
So he was a champion, you know, state champion and stuff, and all the other stuff, one of the top in it. So he was in there doing he was doing his head dance, and they had a 24 by probably 18 great room, like family room.
Break dancing, yes, yeah, that's what it's dancing, called.
Right. So he's in there break dancing, and she's coming down the hallway from her bedroom, and all of a sudden she hears a thud, and she sees her son laying out flat out, knocked out. She runs over to him. Are you okay? Are you okay? She starts screaming for her mother, that her and her mother shared the house. They owned it together. And so anyway, her mother comes running out of her room. And they're trying to revive him. So the mother goes to the phone, starts calling 911. Well, the mother then leaves the phone and comes over and starts praying over him. And the whole bit, all of a sudden, he just jumps up out of nowhere. And what's the deal? What's the matter? He didn't even know he got knocked out. So, you know, ambulance shows up, police show up, and all the other stuff. They checked him out, and he was okay. So the next morning, on a Saturday morning, Lisa had called me later on that day is when I got the call. But that morning, Azaldi shows up at the door at 9 o'clock instead of showing up at the door about 11 or 12 on a Saturday, normally getting together to run around his buddy. And the whole bit, he's screaming, Lisa, you can't believe what happened last night. She said, well, tell me. He said, I had a dream. And he says, in the dream, he says, I saw Dustin pass out from break dancing. And he injured himself. He broke his neck. And you went over and started praying on him, saying if he was okay, and screaming for your mother. And she dialed 911 and all. And he says, I came over. And he said, I laid my hand on him, and I prayed over him. And he instantly came back to life. Now, he did that in his sleep, folks. He did that in his sleep. That was his first healing, and he had many thereafter. His prayer
that
came true.
Yes.
Jeff Dustin got two pairs of shoes that week. He went to another shop. She says, sir, we're out of them. We don't have your size. We normally don't carry them, but let me check my computers. She found two pairs for him someplace back east, and gave him a discount so he was able to buy two new pairs of shoes that he really wanted. Now, the kid that went to heaven, okay, he got to heaven. He saw the pearly gates. He saw a sidewalk of gold and black gold and saw two archangels on each side of two big golden doors that stood to open into heaven. God took him to that. Now, the fourth one, I didn't get a report back from Lisa. On the others, I did within 2 weeks. The fourth one day, I asked her maybe 4 to 6 weeks later. She said, "Oh, Stu, I forgot to tell you." She says, "Their father got a job, and it was mom and dad were fighting, and this was about 3 weeks ago. All their prayers were answered. All their prayers were answered." Now, I learned one thing. I can't ask for someone else. I can be in agreement with them. And God showed me that with the girl in the condominium, because what ended up happening was, later he gets back on the crack pipe after I'd left Las Vegas, and my friend Rocky, that I was hanging out with over there, he told me that she came to the door knocking on the door one day, begging him to borrow $100 because she was that broke and she needed to go check on him and she was having all kinds of problems. Anyway, that is because she needed to be the one to ask. We asked in her behalf. So God showed me the power of prayer. If a person is willing to pray and ask themselves, you be in agreement with them. You can be in agreement. You can pray with them and so forth.
That requires them.
It's the person, the individual needs to go before God to get the power and authority and to get your prayer answered. Now, two or more coming together, God's in your midst. Jesus is there. He's in your midst. And he's listening. Even individual prayers, he listens. But I want to tell you something else about prayer. And I'm on this, and I get off the subject. But he taught me something. And I saw a federal judge's son die because of a prayer I said to Jesus Christ. Get him off of my case. He was removed. The judge that released me later, Richard Mache, good honest judge in Denver as a political prisoner. But this judge's son died in a car crash, and he was recused from the case, and they just appointed at random, and I got a good judge and got out of political prison. Now, when Ted Gunderson got his buddy to bring a false charge of assault and battery on me, all the other bullshit, which the guy swung at me and then I decked him, but the point was, the prosecutor, they knew I was innocent, the whole bit. The public defender knew I was innocent. I took a lie detector. Matter of fact, the public defender's name was Lori Duffenbaugh. She may still be there. Great gal, good Christian woman. She knew I was innocent. She calls me up out of the middle of nowhere after I'd been praying for her salvation, the prosecutor's salvation, praying for their salvation now, just like I did for the judge, praying for their salvation or God take them off my planet. Now, judge, you know I'm innocent. I don't want to go to court in this Gunderson bullshit. He's out there lying, saying I robbed him and all this. I didn't rob him. It was assault and battery was what the charge was. But he was disinformation. So, anyway, he's out there slandering me and the whole bit right up to his death in 2006 or whatever it was, 2007, because Terry Reed called me up, the former CIA pilot, wrote the book Compromise and told me about he was dead. Now, here's the point. I prayed for about 2 months each day, couple times a week for the salvation of the prosecutor, the public defender, and the assistant prosecutor. I get a call from Lori. Stu, I got good news and bad news and other news. I don't know where to start except to tell you what I think. I said, well, what's that, Lori? She says, you're a holy man. I said, oh, Lori, I'm no holy man. What are you talking about? She says, God showed me that. I said, okay, well, what's this about? She said, well, the prosecutor came to my office this morning crying. He was in tears. So I opened up my office, closed the door to be in private. And he told me that God revealed to him, and he pulls out these documents dismissing the charges against you. And that he said God told him if he didn't dismiss those false charges of which he knew, he would be dead before the end of the day like God took his son the night before in a car crash in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow.
That's a true story, I swear to God.
Well, I don't doubt it.
That's the power of prayer. So that charge was taken care of. That prosecutor ended his crap. His son ended up dead. But it's asking for their salvation and asking for the enemy to be taken off of you. and to ask God for his warring angels to go against the enemy in your behalf. You don't have to ask it but once. He says, command it and it shall be done.
Absolutely.
So, ladies, where do you want to go with this? We've been on here for an hour and a half now.
I just wanted to tell you, Stu, I've got an article I'm going to send to you. I think you'll find very interesting. It's called Stop the Lies. It's an article by a man named Don Nikoloff, and it's about the deathbed confessions of Otto Skorzenzi, about the George H. Scherf Bush.
Bush
is not really their name. Scherf is their real name. They were Germans.
He was adopted.
I have the picture of the entire Bush family with Prescott Bush, his father and his mother, and a young George H.W. Bush sitting there in a Navy German uniform, and surrounding them are all of these soon-to-be high-level German Nazi officers. Joseph Mengele, let's see here, we've got Otto Skorzenzi as a young man, one of Hitler's assassins. Skorzenzi was Hitler's bodyguard. They've got, let me see here, Martin Bormann, Reinhard Gehlen, and many of them, Joseph Mengele, etc., as young men at a retreat with the Bush family on a vacation, I'm sure in Kenny Bunkport or whatever. But there you see the whole family, Prescott Bush, who was also a lab assistant to Nikola Tesla. And in this article, it explains that George H.W. Jr. Was always hanging around Nikola Tesla's lab when he was working, and Tesla didn't like it because he was always stealing things off of his desk. And so he nicknamed him Curious George. And, of course, George H.W. Bush did not like that one bit. And later on in the 90s, there was a movie, an animated movie about the Curious George. And about 2 days after he had premiered, the producer of that movie was found stuffed in a trash can at the end of his street, at the end of his driveway. So I mean, he never forgets anything, George H.W. Bush.
No, he always pays him back and kills people.
Yes, exactly. And I don't doubt for a second he's possibly still alive. And is, maybe a clone. They put to death. Who knows?
Somebody said they saw him at Miranda Air Base, at CIA Air Base I talked about before, down there in Arizona near Phoenix. They saw him about 3 weeks after he was reported dead in a private jet there.
Yeah, I mean, they have many ways of doing this. And, of course, George H.W. Bush's best friend was named Spike Hemingway. My own father came in contact with him, who was when he was vice president of Belding Thread. And this was right before NAFTA. And Spike Hemingway convinced my father that NAFTA was a good thing. And, of course, eventually their company was moved overseas to China, to Hong Kong. And my father was flying back and forth to Hong Kong all the time. But he trusted Spike Hemingway, who made a killing, of course, on the stock market over NAFTA and did not realize who exactly Spike Hemingway was. So these people, these creatures are touching our lives each and every day. We don't even know it half the time, that they're somehow coming in contact with us. But this article is fascinating. It's very lengthy, but I will send it to you because I think you'll find it very interesting.
Yeah, send it to contact to stuweb.com or send it text to me, whichever the link is. I'll get it up with the show.
Okay. Yeah, it's a very interesting article by Lawrence Freeman. On October 29, 2017, Nikola Tesla deathbed confession. Otto Skorzenzi actually gave this deathbed confession because good old George H.W. Bush owed him money and wouldn't pay him. So as getting back at him, this is what he did. He revealed all this information against George H.W. Bush in this article.
George W. Bush is so tight that when he went to lunch with somebody, when he was done, he would get up from the table and say, excuse me, I got to use the restroom. And then he didn't come back to pay the bill after he invited him to dinner.
That doesn't surprise me. He has a trail of bodies falling behind him, so large, so unimaginable. I mean, he was there actually as a young man helping to usher Mao Zedong into the helm of power in China. So his hand has been in so many things.
Oh, yeah. He was ambassador over there back in 1972 or whatever. And then CIA director. But we have to go back to where he came from. He was part of the OSS, the 79 Super Program, in case you didn't know
the original, where our CIA came from.
Yeah,
correct?
Exactly. That's how the CIA was created, and Truman testified before Kennedy was murdered just a month or two before that he shouldn't have ever created the CIA, that it went out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But it was.
Well, William Colby, I believe, was murdered too, also a former CIA.
Oh, yeah. Colby was. Yeah, he was murdered over there. They took him down to Atlanta to the torture chamber, the CIA torture chamber, and tortured him for 2 or 3 days, get all the information they could out, and then they took him back and drowned him. I think it was COVID that's driving out there in the lake.
Yeah, I did a show about that. I remember that. I remember as a kid saying, this doesn't pass the smell test. I'm sorry, this man has vacationed at this lake every day of his, every year of his life as a kid to the present day. He had been eating a meal, his favorite meal, clams and pasta, and supposedly got up in the middle of that meal and got into his boat and fell out of his boat and drowned, and his body was found in a place that it wouldn't have traveled to by the current in that lake. And yeah, they murdered him. I knew that as a kid. I knew that watching that with my parents, it was absolute BS.
No, there's been so much, you know, what they do is, see, there's so many people that know too damn much. And when they're time, when it, there's something that they'll say or something that they've done, and they have to be terminated.
And
that's what happens. It's just like whistleblowers. I mean, they want to terminate us all. Anybody speaking out against them. And the one big thing they are on the super attack on is talking about the Word of God. And Jesus Christ, and the power of prayer, and the power we have over them. That's what sends them so batshit crazy. They send them nuts.
But then they also love to evoke the name of Jesus Christ when they're trying to disassemble the truth, when you are trying to put it out there. They come back at you with, you know, quoting Jesus Christ or whatever, and they're no more Christian than a man on the moon.
I know, the Jesuits are the worst. The Jesuits are the worst for that. The Rockefellers control the Jesuits.
And that's what the Freemasons are truly, actually, are Jesuits, I believe, as well.
Yes.
So, you know, there's this, again, it's so convoluted and multi-layered as they always do everything to make it so as we will never figure it out, that we'll never put two and two together while they erroneously believe we're stupid, you know, which is, again, nothing further from the truth. And but they convince us of things that aren't true. They convince us that we're the ones that causes all these wars, that cause all of these false flags or whatever, when in fact it's always been them. That's what they do with the weather technology. They love to imitate God, and then they cause all this havoc and death and destruction. And then they want us to turn and blame God for what they themselves are responsible
doing.
For.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Yep.
So, if is there anything else you want to touch on this program? I'm going to have you back on, Roxanne.
Oh, I would love to do that, Stu.
You and
we've
Charlene
got so much
both.
Stuff to cover here. But thank you very much. That would be a privilege. I appreciate that.
Yeah, is there any other subject you want to touch on that the people need to hear?
Yes. There's well, the last show that we did, I gave the information for the medicine that I'm taking, and it is getting rid of the yeast. You can get
it. It's so important, Renee. Charlene, Renee, this is so important. I totally agree.
So this is the Allison C. Allison is very strong garlic, and the C is the vitamin C in it. So that is the actual in pill form. And then the Alliderm is a garlic cream that you can rub on your skin, and it will get rid of the yeast. It will get rid of all kinds of viruses. It will get rid of mold. It will get rid of MRSA. So this is something that all targets need. You can order it from New Earth Health, and you can call them, and, well, I say they don't have a phone number, but you can go to New Earth Health, P.O. Box 3489, and it's Ashland, Oregon. Zip code is 97520. And
do they have a website?
They don't, but you can print out an order form, or you can just write to them at this address. And so you can write to them.
How much is it
a bottle?
How much did you pay a bottle for them, Charlene?
It's $40 a bottle, and it's $8 for shipping, so $48 for one bottle, and it's the same price for the cream, but it's worth every penny.
And there's no odor of garlic, right? There's no garlic odor that comes with this product. Right?
No, it does not smell like garlic at all. It's odor-free, so you can take this, and you do not smell like garlic.
Now, for you've got the same problem I do, and a lot of other people do. I've got the problem called psoriasis, and it didn't turn out to be what the doctors tell me. And
surprise,
I don't need
surprise.
A pill. Yeah, what it is a form of yeast and combined yeast. And I admit, you know, there's a saying. I don't want to say it's a joke, private joke, but I haven't been getting any, so I don't see how it was passed. The only way I got this, and it showed up about 2 years ago, the so-called psoriasis, which vitamin D deficiency was part of it, but I had two heart attacks and a stent as a result of it, but it started breaking out on me again. And it's because I'm being targeted. I'm being hit with Westar Satellite, part of Daddy Bush's Raytheon Corp, E-Systems, that targets over a million people every night in America and zaps them. And what it does is breaks down your immune system within 5 years and you die. And that's how they get rid of you quietly. Now, Daddy Bush runs that. That's part of the shadow government, part of E-Systems. It's part of Raytheon. Yes, go ahead.
We had a drone fly over our house the other night that lingered right directly over our home. And that can sound like you've been hit by some sort of frequency.
They probably did. They probably did because I know a former prosecutor in another country, and they've been shooting her husband, okay? And she's a former prosecutor stuck in another country, and she wants to take them on. But anyway, they're hitting her. They're hitting all kinds of people. They're hitting websites, knocking them down, like State of the Nation was taken down a couple of times. Mine's been taken down, messed up. My computer's blown apart, folks. That's the reason I haven't been posting anything for about 2 months, because they were blown apart and wouldn't even let me on my own website. It's cost me.
You're messing with mine as well. I've spent money.
I've spent money to get mine back up, and I've done two shows now, one yesterday and one today. I got to get up tonight or in the morning, along with about 8 other shows that were done before that I couldn't post.
Making it difficult for you to do what
you want to do. Oh, yeah. I mean, this cost me a lot of money. I need, as a matter of fact, I'm asking, hey, folks, help for donations, the computers. And I got my server screaming at me. He needs $500. So,
very worthwhile.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, but I got to get things back together. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm being electronically hit every night. And it cramps my feet up when they hit me. It causes a cramp in one of the feet.
You can literally feel it as it's happening.
Exactly. And it wakes me up every time. It's usually that 4 o'clock time frame, 3:30, 4:30. But the deal is, I'm breaking out all of a sudden with psoriasis again. And thanks to Charlene, garlic, stewed garlic, thanks to someone else, lemons squeezed in water, 8 ounces of water with a whole lemon once a day, pH balance. A little bit of vinegar from a pickle each day, a slice of a pickle,
so
the vinegar. And the third thing, cantaloupe is good for your pH balance, but the garlic kills the psoriasis, which is yeast.
Yeast, yes.
So I found that out. So Charlene, I thank you very much for saving my life. I thank Amber, a nurse, turned me on to the vitamin D as well. And I still take it.
Oh, yes, D3.
Yep,
Stu.
You got it.
I have been taking it for 7 years. I haven't had a cold since.
Yep.
I haven't had a cold. I take it with magnesium and folic acid so it gets into the bloodstream and it's not wasted the typical way. And it actually is effective that way. And it has prevented me from getting a flu or cold, which typically turn into pneumonia and would drop down in my lungs. And I would play hell getting the Tessinex or suspension cough syrup with a modicum of codeine in it so I could sleep and recover. But I always wanted to give me antibiotics that would ruin the good gut bacteria, you know, and cause me all kinds of digestive issues instead of doing anything to cure the pneumonia or that I have been, you know,
had
enough
with. Right. Yeah, and see, this is what's so good about the Allicin C. The Allicin C will fight any kind of infection, and that is basically plus an infection in your lungs when you have pneumonia. So I'm going to make a copy of the order form so that Stu can put it up on his website, because I have copied like 10 pages of the order form, because I know I'm going to constantly need the...
Get it. I'll put it up with this radio show. Okay, ladies, and your article. I'll put them both up with the radio show.
Excellent. Thank you.
All
right. But Renee, you have literally saved me as well, because I had no idea, because of his rightful eight-bit curse set upon me by Jacob Rothschild and his Wicked Witches of YouTube, that I just thought, okay, they're going to bite me, but they're going after my sweet blood, they're on my skin, they're useless. But I didn't realize they gave off a mold, which is a yeast, and also caused me great sharp pain in my nerve endings in my skin that is probably activated by the frequencies. I had no idea. So, you know, you've done such a favor for me, I can't even begin to describe it.
Well, I'm so glad to help. I've been a target since I was a child. And so now I know what works. When I was a child, I had the eczema on my legs, my calves, and it was really horrible. I didn't, you know, being a child, I didn't know what was wrong. But my whole family was targeted.
How could you know? I mean, we don't think this way. We don't think along the same twists and lines that they do, and we don't recognize this malevolent enemy walking amongst us that looking up like us to fool us. We don't see them, and that's how they've gotten as far as they have. That's how they've continued to succeed time and time again, because we don't recognize the enemy for who and what they truly are.
Well, I hope this show has helped make them understand who your enemy is.
I do too, Sue. So much. I pray for that. I really do.
Either one, you want to close this? Go ahead.
Would you like to end in prayer?
Yeah, one of you want to close it? Go ahead.
Renee?
Oh, you want me to? Oh, okay.
I'd be happy to say a prayer if you'd like. I mean, it would just be off the cuff.
Do you want me to say it? Or
yeah, go ahead, Charlene. Say a prayer. Either one of you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven and earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts and deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus and by your blood, Father, by your stripes. And I ask for you to go against our enemy, folks. I mean, Father, that you bring all of America's enemies to salvation. That you bring the planet's enemy, these fallen angels, Father, possessed human beings. That you take them off our planet. That you bring this entire U.S. government. I'm asking, Father, tonight, for every congressman, every senator, the president, vice president, head of the FBI, all the Justice Department, all the agencies, every place, all these corrupt people that we have, Father, bring them to salvation or punish them, Father. Take them out of their positions that they hold. Send your warring angels after them. Chase them out of their offices if necessary, Father. I would ask for that to be done in a short period of time. And I ask it, Father, to save mankind. And I ask for the people to wake up and to realize what they're really up against. How much evil is here, and those that understand who you are, that you wake them up with the Spirit, Father. Wake them up, make them bold with the Spirit, make them warriors against the enemy. I ask it in your holy name, Father, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. You said, ask and it shall be done. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen and amen. That was beautiful, Stu. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you, Roxanne. I appreciate the both of you, and I'll be in touch.
Thank you, Stu.
Have a good evening, folks.
You too. Take care.